You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, in this segment, we've got with us on the line Jim Foley, who is the second half, or the less familiar half, of the tandem that's known as Zeke the Wonder Dog, the Michigan State favorite. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Oh, why, thank you very much.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you on the line. When I told someone I was going to be interviewing Zeke the Wonder Dog, they asked me if I was going to get two barks and a ruff, and that was going to be the end of the interview. But I explained to them that just like Rick and I figure that Timmy was the brains of the Timmy and Lassie combo, we're going to give you the same credit when it comes to the Zeke the Wonder Dog team.
Well, I got to give my wife some credit, too. Otherwise, I might have to pay for that one later.
Okay.
My wife owns Zeke.
I got you. And her name is Terry. Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. Terry Carlson Foley.
Okay, terrific. Well, Jim, I guess my first question I've got for you is, can you explain to our listeners exactly how did the whole concept of Zeke the Wonder Dog begin at Michigan State?
Way back when, there was a fellow named Gary Eisenberg who went to Michigan State. And it was 1975. He was working night shift in the gas station in downtown Lansing. They would take Zeke down to the gas station on the night shift. And when him and his buddies weren't filling up cars with gasoline back then, when they pumped it, you know, the guys pumped it in the tank back then. And when they didn't have anything to do, they would throw Frisbees around the parking lot. And they said, "My God, do you see how this dog is jumping for Frisbees?" And that was in the parking lot of a gas station in downtown East Lansing.
Uh-huh.
And there was a contest that came up, and they had prize money and a free trip to California. And Zeke and Gary decided, well, all these guys that were working at the gas station and going to Michigan State decided to enter them in this contest in Kentucky. So they went on down to Kentucky, and they won the darn contest. And won a free trip to California. Zeke goes out there with Gary and his buddies, and it was a great big party. They went out there. They went up against Ashley Whippet, who was sponsored by WAML.
Wow. Gotcha.
And Zeke had won a national championship, but the world title was at stake here at the Rose Bowl.
The Rose Bowl, yeah.
And it was 55,000 people there to watch these Frisbee dogs fly around in the Rose Bowl that September day. And Gary took second, and it was like Zeke, the Wonder Dog, was dubbed Zeke the Wonder Dog that day when he came back from playing in the Rose Bowl by the Lansing Press, Lansing Journal, for competing in the Rose Bowl because it was the first time in 10 years a Spartan had been in the Rose Bowl.
So I don't know if that was a compliment.
It was a compliment, yes. And Zeke came in, and Wayne Fonts asked him to do a halftime show, and he did, and he stuck, and the fans loved it, and Gary became pastime at the games. So he started doing all the halftimes from there on out for 8 years, from 1976 to 84.
Well, the one thing that I remember, Jim, from the whole thing was there was a quote in 78 where head coach Darrell Rogers said that Zeke was the best receiver in the Big Ten and that he actually received a football letter. And that's really saying something, because back in 78, correct me if I'm wrong, you had a guy named Kirk Gibson, who was one of the wide receivers, as well as a guy named Gene Bird, who was also one of the receivers. And both of those guys were pretty terrific, and yet Zeke was better, according to the head coach.
Right. It was Darrell Rogers. I said Wayne Fonts. Excuse me.
Oh, that's okay.
Darrell Rogers. Forgive me. My mind's slipping.
That's an easy mistake to make.
But that's true. And Darrell Rogers gave Zeke a letter from the football team. And Zeke is the only non-human to be part of the varsity club at Michigan State.
There you go.
So Zeke, living dog years, went away in the 1980s, if I'm not mistaken. And then what? And then what happened?
Well, he lived to be a grand old age of about 15.
Okay. Nice.
But he was only able to perform for about 8 years. They were playing on that AstroTurf back then. If you remember, it was a turf field.
I do remember.
And being on turf field is really hard on a dog. It's not like today's turf. You know,
right.
Like
natural
down
turf
at the down in Lucas Field now, the field down there, that's artificial turf, but it's completely different now. When you step on that turf, it's softer. It doesn't shock the body like it did when Zeke was playing on that new AstroTurf.
Right.
Or the players, to say the least.
Yeah,
I'm sure some of the players that are playing on there today are kind of just slowly getting out of their rocker chair, trying to figure out how to go forward. So,
I mean, the knee injuries and stuff like that, the guys took up. Brokamp, he's had a couple of three knee injuries, and he was a middle linebacker back then.
Yeah. Well, Jim, talk about Zeke, too, and how he came about. This was back in 2002, correct?
2001, 2002, correct.
Okay.
Well, how it started was like a dream, I guess. I went up with my wife, and we went to the Humane Society, and I looked at a lot of dogs, and I saw this black lab, and I had seen Ashley with it, and I had seen Zeke, and I looked at this new black lab named Dexter, and I said to my wife, I said, I'm getting a dog. That dog is going to be the next Zeke the Wonder Dog. And, of course, my wife said, no way. Absolutely no way. It's not going to happen. No one can name Zeke the Wonder Dog except Zeke the Wonder Dog. She fought with me about this. That's why Zeke kept his name of Dexter, because she wouldn't let it happen.
Okay.
So about 6 weeks after we had him, I took him out to Tunnel Park here on West Michigan, up by Holland, and it was snowing. And Zeke went and found an orange Frisbee in the snow and brought it back. And I threw it, and he retrieved it. And he wasn't very good at first, but it started a game between me and Zeke. And he was just one phenomenal dog, because he wanted to play. He had that drive. He had that non-quit attitude.
I know that drive.
We went on and on and on. We went into competition, and we placed seventh in our first competition. And within 2 years of that, he was doing freestyle, and we were competing on national level. So we called the coaches club up and got in contact with Gary from the coaches club, and he hooked us up with the athletic department with Mitch. I don't know if you remember Mitch. Forgive me on names here. Mitch.
No, that's okay.
Mark Hollis. And Mark Hollis and the ticket manager at the time thought it was going to be a wonderful idea to bring Zeke the Wonder Dog back, and then they lost their phone number. I never heard nothing more from him, and it's like, that was a great dream, but I didn't think it was going to happen. And they held tryouts.
Right.
And at the last minute, someone calls me up and says, Jim, do you know they're having tryouts for Zeke the Wonder Dog? I said, they are. Well, this was on a Wednesday, and the tryouts were Thursday. And off to the races we went. We brought Zeke up there, and we went up against all these people that were trying out for it. And they had been looking for this black dog.
Right.
Because they had seen him earlier.
Uh-huh.
And I showed up, and we went up, and there was a few other great black dogs there and great Frisbee dogs. And Zeke just was the right fit. And, my wife's an MSU grad, and it's like it was just the right fit. And everything worked out, and Zeke had the right drive. And so we took off, and they put Zeke the Wonder Dog, and they gave it a try for a year, and they absolutely loved it. And it's been going on ever since with me and my wife, Terry, and I.
Fantastic. Jim, let me ask you a few questions about Frisbee catching dogs in general so that people can learn from what you know. What is necessary to teach a dog? Is it a natural instinct to catch a Frisbee, or is it a trained skill? And how would someone go about developing it?
There's three things about a dog, any dog. I don't care what breed he is. It's what they're bred for. And then how much obedience training they can do, and then how much they can grasp what they want to do, their mischievous side. And, I look for those three areas of a dog as far as what I want in a dog to be able to play Frisbee, because they got to be very adaptive to play Frisbee, because it's such a game. And the more adaptive a dog is, the more tricks you can let them teach you.
Well, no, and is there anything that people need to think about when they're training? Because one of the things that I found interesting in our conversation yesterday was that you were saying that you use different colored Frisbees based on different lights that they're going to be in. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, on a dark day, if I throw a dark Frisbee, like a dark green Frisbee or a disc, and it's a grayish light above, and when he looks up, he can't see it. I mean, you got to almost put yourself on your back and look at the Frisbee when it's flying. If it's a real bright day and you're throwing a white Frisbee and the sun's real bright, you'll have a hard time seeing it. But if you throw an orange Frisbee on a bright day, you can see it from down below. So, I mean, I'll change Frisbees. Like, I got a bright green, fluorescent green Frisbee I use on the field. And it's hard to see in the grass, but it's great to see in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Because it reflects back a different kind of light than, like, when we have an all-green stadium. So, if we got, when we got a lot of trees and I'm throwing around a bunch of trees, I want to be able to see a difference in the color so he can grasp a hold of it. And so that's where I take him on that. It all depends on the day.
And do you and Zeke still travel around, and are there contests or things that you participate in?
Well, yeah, I compete. I compete in hyperflight contests or skyhounds contests, and I stay pretty much within the Midwest region. I don't travel all over because I've been so busy with Zeke that I just haven't had time to compete as much as I would like to. Zeke was in the running for the state championship this year in Michigan. Excuse me. And he decided to go out to lunch, and then one of my other dogs won the state title. And it was like I beat myself, and it was like, Zeke decided to take a break.
Well, that's all right.
You had a backup.
If you're going to lose, it's best to lose to yourself, I suppose.
because I had a border collie that was just flying to you that day. It was awesome. And there's some of the funny ways Zeke has lost contests. Titles like that is one day we were out there and all I had to do was have one more catch, and my wife was excited. Terry was so excited outside. She said, "Come on, Zeke, let's go." And he stopped, looked at my wife, went right to her, walked right off the field.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, a lot of things can happen when you're competing. I mean, but it's for fun and not to play with your dog,
right?
It's not like go out and you do a big football game, or you go out like basketball games and things like that when you're entertaining. You know, it's more business at that point. You know, we want to do a good show, a good performance for the people so they enjoy it. But in contests, really, it's pretty relaxed.
Well,
I like to enjoy myself when I play too.
Well, we appreciate the performance that Zeke has done over the years, because as someone who has seen him perform several times, I'll be the first to say it always is a fan favorite and gets the crowd really going. And frankly, I appreciate it a lot more than the Oriental girl in Ann Arbor who stacks the bowls on her head. I think that getting a dog to do something is a way tougher trick. So I want to thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you. I never thought of putting stacking bowls on her head.
We might be able to set that up. So,
with Jim, a dog doing that, it might be a better idea.
Yeah, but Jim, we've run out of time, so we want to thank you for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. We've been talking with Jim Foley, the other half of the pair with Zeke the Wonder Dog, to be seen at all Michigan State football games this fall. But thank you so much for coming on the show. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation with Julia Palmer from the Capital Area Humane Society right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.